Good morning. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? If there's any shouters in the place, can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah! Man, that does my heart good. I hope you're shouting at home. Get up off that sofa and shout. You know, the church's voice must be heard everywhere. And there's some states they're trying to even make us be quiet. That we can't do. We cannot be quiet. Let me have another amen. Amen. I just got a lot of things on my heart and on my mind. This morning we're going to continue with the Jesus Is series. Let me talk to you just a few minutes. It's good to see Pastor Lawrence and his son Stephen back there waving. Hallelujah. Good to see y'all. And no, his congregation didn't boot him out this early. We're doing online at Apache Junction. The quarters are a little tighter out there, and we thought that would be wise. At the same time, we believe it's wise to continue to meet here. So here we are. I don't know about you, but I feel perfectly safe. I feel as safe, if not safer here. Did anybody go to the grocery store over the weekend? I mean, it was packed 4th of July. And also have the utmost respect for those folks that are at home as well, that are watching us online. Have the utmost respect, honor. I just want all of us to remember, both at the property and away from the property, as a Rock Church, we're standing together for the Lord. That's very important, is that we stay connected and we stand together. I'm going to tell you, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me at the altar, and I'm going to test that for a few days. So I'm going to stay away from that comment. But if at all possible, we got to keep these doors open safely. We're practicing every guideline. We're wearing face masks. We're practicing CDC guidelines. We're doing all those things. And we want to be safe. If you're ill, you need to be home, all those things. But we're in a very fluid situation. And I'll close my message. I think the time now, and I've said this since March, the greatest season maybe that we've ever had to be the church is now, church, in our country. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing. But I think it's important that we're here this morning. I think it's just good to be here, isn't it? It's good to be in the house of God. Praise the Lord. A couple other things. We start our week of prayer this week. We'll start at the altar today at our seats. Starting a week of prayer, we get up at 6 in the morning at our homes and pray. You have your prayer list. If you don't get up that earlier, you get up earlier, get up and pray. We're praying in agreement. And then we'll have a prayer meeting on Zoom, 6:30 Saturday morning. And those prayer meetings have been extremely powerful. It just sends the move of the Spirit. And we're praying together during the week of prayer. So we're excited about that. We're still doing our children's ministries. We're doing it very safe. You know, if you feel like we're going overboard, just love us anyway. We're doing it to protect everybody. But we feel it's important to continue to disciple our children. And thankful for Pastor Steve and his team. Pastor Steve, our children's pastor. And Pastor, I'm so thankful God brought you here about 4 years ago. He's been a lead pastor and done a number of things over the years. But you know what? He's called to kids. And I think we have one of the finest children's pastors. I really mean this. I really mean this. In the state of Arizona. Because He cares about feeding our children the Word of God, and he still knows how to have fun. And kids need to have fun like adults. And so I'm so thankful for you, Pastor, and so thankful that you were brought here for a time such as this. Praise the Lord. Hey, one other little quick thing, and something I've noticed the last few Sundays is just for everybody's safety and just to keep the... I know how much we love to fellowship. I mean, we're the church that stays 30 minutes to an hour after church is over. We're that church because there's great unity and love in our midst. But it would be a good idea if we don't huddle in the commons for everybody just keep moving. You know, that's very difficult to do. And there's one person in this church that is they're the most challenged at doing that out of all of you. I'm serious. Because I just want to hug your necks. I want to high five you. But let's don't. Let's just kind of talk from a distance and move from a distance. And I give Big Dave permission to politely keep y'all moving today. So don't mess with Big Dave. You got that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I've got everything moving into the message. Y'all believe in prayer? Is there anybody here or at home this morning? And I always want you to respond at home. Allergies? Is there something you've been praying for or about for a long time that you haven't had the answer yet? Let me see your hands around the house. Look around the house, everybody. And I'm seeing you at home. If you're at home, get your hand up. Or let me ask you another question this morning. Is there ever been something that you really wanted really, really bad and you prayed about too? And you know, last week we talked about it. God will meet all our needs, not necessarily all our wants. But what I found out over the years too is a lot of times he gives us a lot of our wants too. He's a good God. We can depend on him for our needs. In fact, his provision in my life has always exceeded my wants. I'm so blessed. But has there ever been a longing, a deep longing in your heart for something that you have yet to receive? Yeah? Yeah, I understand. When I was about, I don't remember exactly, 11 or 12, I wanted a pool table. I wanted a pool table. Now, I'd never played pool. There was a reason for that. I lived 3 miles in the, I was born and raised on the farm. I was raised about 3 miles outside of this little metropolis called Auburn, Kentucky, with 1,200 people. I'm telling you, it really got crowded at the grocery stores. There's a church on every street corner. And there was a pool room. I bet the pool room, and it had 4 or 5 pool tables and 2 pinball machines. Now, pinball machines in those days were the cutting edge technology. And the only thing to do in Auburn was go to the pool hall or play the pinball. You got to go to town and play the pinball machine only for a nickel. And you could rig it where you could beat it and get points and start getting it for free. That's another story. My mother forbid me to go to the pool hall because good things couldn't happen at the pool hall. The pool hall was a bad place to be. I wasn't allowed to go to the pool hall. We called it the pool room. We didn't call it the pool room. You didn't get to go either? Oh, no, we weren't allowed. So every time I got to visit my kids in the city, you know, in Auburn, my friends, that was a big deal just to go to the city. Yeah, it's pretty funny. If their mother allowed them to go to the pool room, guess who went to the pool room? Oh, Mama's in heaven. I think she's probably here and listening down this morning. They had the best cheeseburgers in town. Now that I think about it, they had the only cheeseburger. No, they were. We had one other little restaurant called the Dairy Dip, curb service, before Sonic ever thought about being Sonic. So, you know, you snuck in and played pool a couple times. I wanted a pool table. And that's what I began to ask for Christmas. And every year, we were a middle-class family. Our father and mother took care of us really well. But every year, you'd get one big thing. But the pool table gig was probably out of our league with four other children. And really, just to make, I mean, I longed. And I had a big room, upstairs room about the size in that old farmhouse. Remember last week that I almost jumped off the porch in the Superman suit? Y'all may recall that if you've heard that message. I had room for a pool table. I wanted one so bad I could taste it. I longed for a pool table. And guess what I got for Christmas? I got my own pool table. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I was surprised. I don't know how Mom and Dad, they had a neighbor keeping it because it was too big. And then they snuck it in on Christmas Eve. Wow. Now, you know, that was just a childhood desire. And maybe you can understand that. Maybe some of you had those desires as well. But on a serious note, is there something in your heart that you've been longing for? Something you've been praying about? Maybe it has to be something to do with your career or your job or your next job or something happening in the context of your job. Maybe for some it's young families that aren't families yet and they're desiring to have a child. And we know that that can be a great desire. Maybe we're praying for family and friends or prodigal sons and daughters that were away from the Lord, and there's a longing, a deep longing in their heart. Maybe some of y'all are looking for a man. You're praying that God would bring that right one in your life. I'm trying not to stare at anybody. I know if you're sitting at home, I'm looking right at you. You've been praying for a man and you know it. No, I'm just teasing. Or maybe there's a healing. You've been ill for a while and you need a healing. Or maybe there's something that you have this besetting sin or addiction and you're trying to get free from that. The title of my message today, and I made up a new word. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's not in there. And I was hoping it would be, but it was not. Jesus is a surpriser. How many of you would like to be surprised? With a good surprise, not one of these, you know, Jesus is the God of surprises. And I'm telling you, I've walked with Jesus long enough to know Jesus will surprise you. He is a surpriser. And I'm going to tell you at home and here this morning and around the country, He may have a surprise for you today. See, I expect when we gather here in the building and online for God to move in our hearts. For God to move in our homes. For God to move in our lives. I'm expecting in this season for God to do more miracles than we can remember maybe in a lifetime. Because Jesus is not dead. Jesus is not caught off by this plague. Jesus is not caught off by the political turmoil and all that's going on in the country, in the world. And Jesus wants to show Himself. And if you'll pray and you'll believe, He might just surprise you. I believe it with all my heart. So we read of a great one here in John 11, verse 17 through 27, and we'll read together. On his arrival, and we're picking up the chapter where Lazarus, and a lot of y'all are familiar with that. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here," listen to this, "my brother would not have died." Verse 22. "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. I think maybe the Lord would be saying that this morning. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, Jesus said, will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you're the Christ who has come into the world. And we're going to keep expanding this context in chapter 11. But we know that it's a story of Lazarus, his sisters, his families. And it's a wonderful story. And Jesus surprised them in a mighty way. So what are some of the thoughts that he could offer us this morning? And I have several, more than I can get to. So we'll see which ones I skip as the sermon moves along. Number one. Jesus is always on time. That'll preach. He's punctual. He's never late. Now, when you read this, and I'm going to read some more of the text, the first seven verses, it's surprising to me that Jesus didn't go see Lazarus right away, because we're going to read that. It may even be disturbing to some of you. He waited 2 days before he took off. Let's read seven more verses, the first seven, John 11, 1 through 7. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now laid sick, poured perfume. She was the one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then watch this. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And here's the shocking thing in verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then, after 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Does that seem a little strange to you? He was friends of this family. Not that Jesus was a respecter of persons. He loves everybody. He gets word, and instead of rushing, you know, to the rescue, he stayed for 2 days. Now, I can't explain why, and I don't have time to tell you some of the thoughts I've had, but maybe you. I think it still happens today. In this context, Jesus was waiting for a reason. He knew Lazarus was sick, just like he knows where you are this morning. He knows exactly where you are. And I wonder today, I mean, I wonder what they thought. I mean, where is he? Where is Jesus? Did the messenger make it? It's not that far away. They should have been back. Let me tell you something. Jesus will not operate on our predetermined schedule. We would like for him to. Can I get an amen to that comment? But he doesn't work on our timeline. I mean, maybe you've had a desperate times, or that thing you've been longing for. I mean, you've even had 10 prophecies that it was supposed to happen 18 years ago. And I'm exaggerating and having fun a little bit here. But you're saying, where are you, Lord? Why haven't you answered this prayer, Lord? Have you even heard my prayer? I'm not even sure. What's happening? Am I praying the wrong prayer? See, here's what I see with a lot of us. I can't say people, I can say us. We go to the Lord, we long for something, and we put deadlines, even subconsciously, we put a deadline on the Lord when he's supposed to do something. And when he doesn't, we tend to either give up, lose faith, or take matters into our own hands. Well, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is never late. My heart goes out to you if there's been a longing in your heart. But he may surprise you this morning. But Jesus hasn't forgotten about you. Jesus hears your prayers. Jesus knows exactly where you are. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? He hears your voice. He knows your life. He knows your need. And Jesus will never be late. Jesus is always on time. Well, what time's that going to be? When's he going to show up? I'm going to tell you right now, I've got the answer to that. I don't know. But he's in control. Number two, Jesus is bigger than life. He's big. He's not small. Jesus offers us a bigger life than we're living while we're on this earth. I mean, Martha actually had the courage to say what a lot of us feel in our own hearts. She said, "Where are you again? Why didn't you show up? If only you'd been," she said, "if only you had been here, Lord." I mean, and I don't think she's having a pity party. I really don't. She's broken. She's lost a brother. Her brother is dead. Her brother is in the grave. And she's just thinking, "Jesus, if you'd only been here," she might have even been thinking, "Why didn't you get here?" You know what I'm saying? The Lord is so gracious. He doesn't correct her. Not that God doesn't correct us sometimes, but he didn't hear. He said, "Martha, your brother will rise again." I mean, he just kept talking. Now, in that culture, it was believed by many people in that culture that the spirit of the body hung around the body for 3 days, that it hovered around. There's no biblical evidence for that, nor do we believe that, because there's not biblical evidence for it. But it was believed in that culture by a large number of people that the spirit would hang around for a few days. But see, after 4 days, all hope was gone. See, Martha said, yeah, he'll rise again. He's going to rise in the last day. Now, let me touch on that a minute, but that's not what Jesus was talking about in the context of this scripture. We know that someday, for those that have made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of their life, they're going to heaven, right? Heaven's a big deal, right? If you've repented of your sins, confessed your sins, asked God to forgive you and invited Christ into your heart, we can spend eternity with Jesus. We will rise with Christ. There's dozens of scriptures that teach us that. And I'm so thankful for the hope of heaven. This morning, if you don't have the hope of heaven, I want you to have the hope of heaven. I'm asking you to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, here under the roof or here at home or wherever you're listening this morning. But that's not, look, you can be saved forever, and I can't wait for forever in heaven. Right? Hallelujah. That's not what Jesus was talking about here. It's not what he was talking about at all. Jesus was not talking about eternal life or life after death. He was talking about life now, because he knew what he was getting ready to do. And Martha, she said, "Yeah, I know someday," and let me paraphrase Dale's words, not just, "Look, Martha, I'm not talking about someday. I'm talking about today." What is Jesus doing in your life now? What are you doing with your life now for Jesus? Heaven is the big prize, but if you're just sitting around waiting on heaven, you're missing a great journey with Jesus down here. He is the resurrection and the life today. How many of y'all been to Disney World? How many at home been at Disney World? Been at Disney World. Okay. You know, I went to Disney World. I'm not a theme park guy. Even when I was a youth pastor, oh my Lord, I had to take teenagers to theme parks. You had to have a great calling on your life to do that. Woo! It's like herding cats. We went to Disney World one time, our family, and I just sit on the bench. Actually, when I go to theme parks, after one ride, I ended up sitting on the bench all day, if you can imagine what I'm saying. I struggle with motion sickness. Yeah, I went to Disney World. I sit on the bench. I could see the castle. The castle wasn't as big as I thought it was. It looks larger than life. But I could see the castle. I could smell the cotton candy, and we have some cotton candy freaks in our house named, I won't mention any names, Darla, but we're not passing a cotton candy stand, not in our house. I could smell the hot dogs. I could see some of the rides. I could see Mickey Mouse. I could see Goofy, but I sit on the bench all day. I never got past the entry. Now, I may have been in the Magic Kingdom, but I didn't experience the fullness of the Magic Kingdom at all. That could describe a lot of us today. We're in, we're going to heaven, but we miss all the magic Jesus has while we're here. Church, we need to come up off the bench. We need to make an appointment with Jesus every morning and keep it. We need to be a voice out there praying for others, loving on others, standing with others, being there for others. We need to ask Jesus to do some supernatural things, not just for our own life, but for those that cross our lives. We need to expect God to show up and build families. We need to expect God to show up and to heal people. We need to expect God to show up and save people. We need to expect God. When I prayed for somebody 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, He struggling with addiction. He said, Pastor, I just believe Jesus can do it. And we prayed, and he's free, and free indeed. And by the way, I'm one of those ex-alcoholic addicts that got a prayer, and I was free, and free indeed. Jesus still sets the captives free. Jesus still heals bodies. Jesus still heals broken hearts. Jesus is still saving. Jesus is still shining. And I want to walk with him. I tell you, it's a trip to really walk with Jesus, because you get surprised all the time. He answers prayers you really thought he would never answer. Kind of like Martha, right? God answers a prayer and we go, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He's saying, well, you asked me 100 times. Why don't you? He's just that good. Walking with Jesus is fun. Walking with Jesus is great. Walking with Jesus is surprising, because you can see and experience yourself and experience with others the resurrection power of a risen Savior. And this world, come on, needs the power. They need to see Jesus, the real Jesus. Hallelujah. The kingdom is right now. And it's later. Number three, Jesus is passionate about you. Look to your neighbor and say, about you. Do it in your house. Shout at your husband. I know he's sitting right at you, but reach over and kiss him. Not here in the building. Don't do it here in the building. Only if you're home. Pam, I know you were tempted. Always. Good answer. Bob. Man. Woo. Moving on. Jesus is passionate about you. John 11:35 says this. Yeah, I know it's hard to memorize this scripture, but let's try. This is your scripture memory verse for the day. Everybody say it with me. Jesus wept. Say it again with me. Jesus wept. Now you've learned your scripture verse for the day. I used to think, and I'm just going to share my thought today. Why was his heart broken? He already knew what he was going to do. I mean, we would have to know that. He'd already really, he had a plan. He was going to raise Lazarus. So why did he cry? That's a fun question to talk about. But the reason I think he cried, and I've even taught this. I didn't know if I'd mentioned, you know, I thought maybe he wept because of their lack of faith, because they certainly didn't have a lack of faith, didn't they? But Jesus kind of knows when our faith is wobbly. And I think his heart broke because Martha's heart was heartbroken. She's lost her brother. Her brother is dead. His heart broke because he could feel the pain in Martha's heart. There were other people grieving and mourning. There's some of you here this morning grieving and mourning. I want you to know that it's okay to grieve. It's okay to mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they, what, shall be filled. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus sees your pain. Jesus understands what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through. He understands your struggle. Hebrews 4 and 15 and 16, and I use this verse a lot, because it's a special verse to my heart. Because in my pain or in my weakness, it says this: for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach. Here's my verse. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. But to bounce back to verse 15, if we could bounce it back, I want to read that again. Jesus sees our pain. It says in verse 15, and I'll read it again. For we do not have a Savior. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Can you say hallelujah? Our God is not a God that's far away. Jesus is passionate about you. He understands you. He feels what you feel. This morning, if there's something you've been longing for, he understands the pain of that longing. He knows he's here. Does that surprise some of you this morning? Jesus wept. That God Almighty would care for us? When all the other religions in the world teach us that if we can work our way and be good enough and do good enough, we might get there. And we have a Savior that came to us. Almighty God cares for us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves us. And he cares. He cares about what we're going through right now at our homes, at our work, in our families, in our church. Jesus cares. There's a little boy that his mom sent him to the grocery store in a small town just to pick up a couple of things, sent him right down the street. He didn't make it back in the time frame he should have made it back. And she waited and she waited before the days of cell phones. Couldn't call, didn't know. Called the store owner. Everybody in that little town knew him. Yeah, he was down here, but I haven't seen him in a while. You know, in our culture today, red flags. And he finally returned. Mom was a little pumped, a little upset. Said, "Where have you been? I've been worried sick about you." He said, "Well, He said, on the way back, there was a little boy, Mom, on the sidewalk riding his tricycle, and he had wrecked, and his tricycle was tore up. She said, yeah, he said, he was there crying. He was just sitting beside his tricycle, crying his eyes out. And Mom was still pretty ramped. And she said, well, what do you think you're doing? You can't fix tricycles. And the boy said, no, Mom, I can't. I can't fix tricycles at all. So I just sit down beside him and cried with him. That's what Jesus will do this morning. He'll sit right down with us and cry with us. It's not in this message, but that's what we really need to do as a church, isn't it? When we don't know what to do, just sit and cry with folks. Empathize with folks. May not understand them. Scripture says, cast your cares on him. He cares for you. Does that surprise you? And then Jesus is the power to change. He'll give us the ability to change things we can't change on our own. And let's read. Watch this. Here's the climax of the whole story in John 11:39. We'll read a few verses here. Take away this. He goes to the grave. Everybody's watching. Who knows what they're thinking? Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, I'm ready to answer your prayer. But Lord, I'll show up today. But Lord, I'm getting ready to work a miracle. But now? Oh, that's not, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. By this time there's a bad odor, for he's been dead. Been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone. They took away the stone. Jesus looked up at him and said, Jesus says a prayer, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine being there? The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. By the way, if you remember the Easter message, they didn't wrap them like mummies. They put linen strips on them, and they put, the King James called it a napkin. He still had that cloth over his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. Surprise! What were they thinking during the waiting period? There had to be a delay from him walking to the tomb to shouting, Lazarus, come out. And I got some real deep theology for it. I thought, why did he say Lazarus? Well, if he had just said, come out, people have been popping out of the grave everywhere. That's all I can think of. Not sure that's sound theology, but I'm not sure it's bad theology either. It's just fun. What did people think were going to happen? Did they really expect him to come out? Were some people mocking him? We know the mourners continued to cry. But see, the question for us is not, does Jesus have the power? Because stay with me on this little thought. This is your takeaway if you're taking notes on this point. I think every one of us here and at home and around the country believe that Jesus has the power to do anything. If you believe that, give me an amen. Amen. We know He is. We know He can. Most of us, even here this morning and watching me this morning, have already put their faith in Christ for salvation. And most of us this morning have already seen some miracles. The real question is, do you really believe you can trust Jesus in your life now? Do you have enough faith to follow Him as He leads you, even when you don't understand His plan? Well, I know Jesus can do anything, and I believe Jesus is all powerful, and I've seen Jesus do many things, and I know that Jesus can do this in my situation, but will He? Come on now. I know I've had that thought many times. Can I trust Jesus to show up when I need Him the most? Can I trust Jesus to make the best decisions for my life? Do I trust my life with Him so that He can have a plan for my life? See, Jesus has the power to transform. He can do anything. What we try to do on our own, He can do in a second. Jesus has transformative power. This morning, there's maybe some things in your heart that you'd like to see change and you'd like to see different. But I'm telling you, you said, I've struggled and I can't change. Jesus can change. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He still changes hearts. He still sets the captives free. He still does all of these things. Well, I know He can, but will He? For some today, maybe He'll surprise you. And maybe He will. I want to ask you again, we started this conversation and along the way I asked you about your deepest longing and your deepest prayer. I can't promise God will answer the prayer the way you want Him to answer your prayer, but He will answer your prayer. And there's so many things. How many of y'all believe He's for you and not against you? I believe He wants to surprise us this morning. Do you believe it? I've had this message for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I tell you, this is one of the most difficult seasons as a pastor. And things are good. You guys are great. The church is great. Life is great. And we're in all this mess in our country. And it's been in some ways the most difficult season of my life as a leader in my life. As a leader of a church, leader of a men's movement, a leader of a network. It's been very difficult and very heavy. Things change from day to day and week to week. And by the way, and I don't want to... This thing is not a hoax. Has it been stretched out of proportion? Maybe. Maybe it hasn't been. But it's not a hoax because I know people that have died. We have people in our watching this morning and in this building had family members and friends have died. I can't believe what's happening in our culture, but I still believe, oh boy, this one could get me in trouble. But I don't care if it does. Most white people aren't prejudiced. Most black people aren't prejudiced. Most brown people in America aren't prejudiced. Most red people aren't prejudiced. Most Asians aren't prejudiced. Everybody has a small percentage in their culture that have some prejudice, but I don't believe it's most of us. I don't believe it. We can't tolerate it where it is because Jesus does not tolerate those things. We know that. Why are you saying this, Pastor? Because all this stuff weighs on me. And, you know, you get the plague. I call it the plagues numbers. And is it a time to repent? I believe it is. But that's not all we need to be doing. While we're repenting and asking God to search our own hearts and change our own lives, we need to be a light shining because we're all works in a process anyway. Church, we can't be afraid in this hour. Amen. We can't be afraid now. That's what the enemy wants. And all this weighs on you. And my motive is always to keep the flock completely safe. Your safety is my calling. This I get to get up here and do for fun. Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. There may be viruses and plagues and economies crashing and riots, and it's happening around the world. And Jesus is saying from his word this morning and from me this morning, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's speaking about now. We're going to heaven later, but we can't afford to be cowards and sit on the bench. Please, if you're home, I'm not talking to you that way. I'm just saying we've got to have a voice. We've got to pray. We've got to stand. We've got to witness. We've got to share. We've got to be the church. They're trying to close the doors of the church, period. I never thought I would say that. Jesus is the resurrection and the life today. That's the content. Someday, yes. Someday, heaven. But right now, he is the resurrection and the life, and he wants to work through his people. And I tell you, I shared that whole context to share this. It's heavy. We get, because I watch the news. I read 3 newspapers. I stay well informed. I think it's important to know the times that we're in. And if you're not careful, you can get so weighed down, even with good motives, that you lose your focus. I never lost my focus, but Jesus pricked my heart. I think it was Tuesday morning when he and I were sitting down and talking. He said, I still want to save, Dale. I still want you to pray for the sick, Dale. I still want to fill people with the Holy Spirit, Dale. Dale, I still want to work miracles. I want to move like I've never moved before. And I believe that. You test it if you want to, but God still wants to move and show his resurrection power. He's not dead. He wants to surprise us. He wants to surprise them. Wonder what would happen if you asked to pray for a protester. Just a weird thought. What the news doesn't show is people are hitting their knees in prayer all around our country. We're not alone. He said, Martha, He's been dead 4 days. It smells nasty. Yeah, he said, but I'm the resurrection and life. Today. In the building, outside the building. Don't grow lukewarm at home. Don't grow lukewarm coming to church. Don't get lax. Don't get lackadaisical. Anything in this hour, every Christian should be closer to Jesus than they've ever been before, whether they've been together with others or not. Don't let this be a season where you get distracted or beat up or down or even non-existent. Y'all hear my heart, don't you? Lord, we thank you. And I'm praying for people at home too. You say, I want to, and every head bowed, I want to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life. Would you stand here or at home or wherever you may be? You said, I want to give Christ my heart this morning, and that's you, make him Savior. Please stand in here. We're going to pray for you. We'll pray for you at home as well. Then we've all been standing, but today I felt we'd do it a little different, and we may all end up standing. Is you said there's been a longing in my heart, a prayer in my heart, and I need prayer in that area. I want you to stand all over the place. We're going to pray together. At home as well, just as a declaration, amen. There's a longing in your heart, something you've been praying for. Give you time to stand. People are still standing. I'm sure they are at the house too. It's important to respond. Others said, I need a healing in my body. And I'm sure some of y'all stood for that. But if you're at home or here this morning, you said, I've been asking for a healing for a long time. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. In here as well as home. You said, there's this thing. It's just, I do well for a while, but it's got a hold of me. And I want to finally be free, and free indeed. I want you to stand here and at home across the country. I want you to stand. Because I truly am going to believe as I pray over you and as we pray together that God is going to show up. Jesus is going to show up and surprise you. Just like he surprised Martha and Mary. Who, Jesus? Church, look at me real quick. And at home, look at me. Let's believe, okay? With whatever we have. Let's believe and ask God for some miracles today, right now. Okay? I'm going to pray over you. Bow your head. And I'm just like you. I wish we had a half hour at the altar. But Jesus can do it in 3 minutes too. Lord, so many are standing here this morning around the valley, around the country. So many are standing. We've had some fun and we've also been serious. We've eaten your word. And we've been edified. We've been challenged. Lord, there's a longing in our heart. And you know what every person that's standing needs. And Jesus, I'm just asking you this morning to meet us where we are. To touch the men and women and children that are responding. And I'm asking for miracles in their life. Just like you told Martha and Mary, this is for the glory of God. For the glory of God, touch the women, touch the men. Whatever their need, whatever their longing, whatever their prayer, meet them here this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, heal, save, set free, answer prayer. You know, Lord, now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lazarus, come out. in the name of Jesus. Lazarus, come out. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And I pray even now, Holy Spirit, as you are working miracles in our life, that the grave clothes of our longing are coming off. The grave clothes are coming off. And we right now, in the name of Jesus, will experience life and life to the fullest in this area of our heart and our life, our homes, our families, and our friends. In the name of Jesus. And I want you to give the Lord a hand clap of thanks. Here's what I want you to do this week. Please text or email us and let us know what Jesus did to surprise you this morning. And we're going to come back and share it with you next week. How about that? Love you all dearly. Love you all so dearly. You never know how much.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to share in the comments how God is speaking to you through His Word. If you would like to join our online church community, be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon on our YouTube page so you're notified when we post a new weekly sermon. You can also learn more about The Rock Church by visiting our website, rockag.com. If you are in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, make sure to come visit us for Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. We would love to meet you in person. And if you would like to support this ministry today, you can donate by visiting our website and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page, or by texting the amount you would like to give to the number 84321, then follow the instructions in the text reply. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you.